Good morning, members. I'd like to bring the Environment and Natural Resources Policy Finance Committee to order. Representative Torkelson, will you move the minutes of March 3rd?
Mr. Chair, I'm happy to do that.
All discussion of the minutes of March 3rd. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The minutes are adopted. Members, we're going to have a discussion today on a number of AIS provisions. We're laying out. Representative Drazkowski, apologize. You're staggered. You're first and last, and I know you're not a member of this committee, so unfortunately you're going to be able to either run back to your office and we can come and get you, or you'll have to stay here in between just to kind of make sense, members, to do it in the order we're going to go. First, we have House File 184, Representative Drazkowski's bill, which repeals the sticker. Second is Representative Uglem's bill, which is a for lack of a better term, is the DNR's modifications to the current law. Both of those bills will be laid over for possible inclusion. We'll do them one at a time. Representative Uglem does have an amendment to his bill. And then last, we will have an informational discussion about Representative Drazkowski's House File 570, which is actually, Representative Drazkowski, is the first discussion in a House committee, other than the conference committee, about that $10 million tax provision. So it's going to be a real important discussion so we can have interest groups and folks understand what was passed in conference committee. So that's kind of a roadmap. I just looking at them, I'd say we'll probably do about a third on the discussion purposes. Any questions by the members? Representative Drazkowski, if you, Representative Drazkowski, I will move House File 184 for to be laid over for possible inclusion. Welcome and good morning. Welcome back to the committee.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Thank you, and good morning, members. This bill, members, repeals the statutes that were enacted, I believe, in 2012 that creates a an aquatic invasive species sticker for boat trailers and an associated training program for people in Minnesota and outside Minnesota that wish to continue to use their boats and boat trailers in the state. The issue of aquatic invasive species has consumed a great deal of time over the past five legislative sessions. People in many different parts of the state are concerned about the newly introduced species that live in a portion of Minnesota's lakes and streams and what that means to them and their ability to continue to utilize the abundance of natural resources with which our state has been blessed. In 2012, I was a member of this committee. We heard many provisions offered in several bills that were intended to help slow the spread of these new aquatic species into lakes and streams that they had yet to inhabit. During that time frame, we saw bills with controversial provisions that required boat owners to submit themselves and their property to law enforcement inspections, to participate in newly designed boat washing efforts at many landings, and force them to travel in every instance with their boat with the boat plug removed or face government penalties. In addition, that year we saw the DNR push very, very hard for additional burdensome identification and training requirements that require law-abiding users of our lakes and streams to submit to yet another burdensome requirement to participate in a training program and to submit to an associated decal placement requirement in order to continue to use the same resources that they have used responsibly for generations. While I and others fought hard to remove this last straw from the camel's back, we fell short, and the legislature succumbed to the placement of this added burden upon the fine people of Minnesota. The bill before you today repeals those unacceptable burdens of training and additional decal requirements that the legislature and governor have placed upon Minnesota's outdoor enthusiasts. I have heard from Minnesotans in every part of our state that are frustrated and angry with this new law. The general understanding is that state government has gone overboard in its burdening of the liberties of our citizens, and it's time for the legislature to reel them back in. So, Mr. Chair, those are my introductory remarks about the bill. Certainly interested in questions and further discussions, and Mr. Chair, I think we've got some testifiers as well.
Representative Drazkowski, I do want to bring to members' attention You did provide us, I believe we got it from you, Representative Drazkowski. Thank you. I had questions this morning about the actual quiz. Members, it is a one-page handout you have with 10 questions.
Yes, Mr. Chair. That was offered by the DNR at the last hearing of this bill. So,
You were the good legislator you are. You kept your copy so you could provide it to this committee. So thank you.
I happened to put it in the file, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Drazkowski. This is, we'll hear testimony about this, but members, this is the proposed questionnaire. Okay, Representative Drazkowski, I think we'll hear from the other. Any questions for Representative Drazkowski? Representative Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And welcome, Representative Drazkowski. Mr. Chair, it's always great when Representative Drazkowski comes to committee. Such a short bill, but I counted, I think, four, maybe five burdens in your presentation. One succumb, one liberty, a couple other phrases. You know, Representative Drazkowski, back when we worked together a long time ago, you were an extension. And we focused on trying to inform and educate people rather than do regulation. And I think that's what was attempted here, trying to get education out to folks, moving beyond the passive information distribution to actually having some type of training module. And I'm wondering how, if we don't have this, what do we do? I mean, what do we do to the risk, current risk, and the ongoing risk for invasive species impacting not only our environment but our economy.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Hansen. Yeah, and I know we're going to get into that discussion with this bill, and we did it at Representative Hackbar's committee as well. And you know, I think in this area, education is the role that needs to happen. The question is, should it be mandated and should it be forced upon people? And obviously, my belief and opinion here is the answer is no. And as a matter of fact, I think the DNR will testify, at least they did last time, that there's about a 17% nonconformance rate with the current laws about, you know, not having invasive species hanging on your boat trailer and in your bilge of your boat, et cetera. You know, if we reflect upon that, there was one point at which, you know, it was probably a 100% violation rate, and that would have been before the law was passed, I would suspect. And so we're on a pretty good curve as we look at it, I think, with the efforts that have happened in Minnesota to let people know that it's in the best interest of them and the resources of our state to not leave the weeds hanging on the boat trailer. I would suspect the answer, Representative Hansen, is one that continues on some of those efforts that we have done. And I know in the last committee, one of the suggestions that was brought forward is a novel idea and something certainly your committee is going to grapple with this. And that was kind of a turn-in poachers type of approach to aquatic invasive species. And I would suggest that if something like that happens, you might couple it with an approach that I see happen in Ontario. You go to Ontario to some of these lakes, and they've got these huge signs. I mean, they're like 20 feet tall and maybe 15 feet across, and they've got all the fishing regulations are on there, and a variety of other, you know, regulations are on there too. You could easily make it very prominent on there that and place those signs only in front of the lakes that are inhabited with invasive species, because that's where they're sourced from, and that's where the problem occurs. And just let people know that there's invasive species in this particular lake, and you are required according to law to do this. And by the way, if you see somebody who's not following that, here's the phone number. it could be something as simple as that, focused on really the place that we need to focus on, and that's those lakes where the problem already exists, rather than burdening everybody in such a broad sweeping way as the current law does. So anyway, those are my opening thoughts on maybe you guys are going to talk about this a lot down the road, I expect.
Thank you, Representative Drazkowski. First, I'd like to hear from Carol Austin. Carol, are you in the audience? Yeah. Thank you. If you could come forward. Carol, if you could identify yourself and who you represent, and then give us your short testimony, and we can see if we have any questions for you. Welcome. Good to see you again.
Good morning. My name is Carol Austin, and I'm the creator of the Facebook page pushing the repeal of this law. It really got the ball rolling, and I have 3,450 likes on that page and many more followers, and they're all interested in just seeing the law thrown out. There's some people that say they could see some changes to it, but personally, I, as Representative Drazkowski said, it puts a burden, and to me it says you're guilty before you're even accused of a crime, okay. Requiring this sticker on the trailer saying. And as the number said, only 17% of the people aren't following the law. And then the recent information from the Minnehaha Creek Watershed, 43,000, over 43,000 inspections, and they found 24 boats with zebra mussels on them. And I know from in Carver County, I'm on the Carver County Parks Commission, and one day last summer there was 8 boats from Lake Minnetonka, and these are Lake Minnetonka residents that should know the law and should know better, tried to put their boats into Lake Waconia with zebra mussels on the boats. These are boats that were sitting in Lake Minnetonka and loaded with zebra mussels. Now, how do you educate all those people? Is a sticker going to change their mind or attitude about it? I don't think so. I think maybe some stiffer penalties in other areas. And then what a lot of the people I've got liking the page have said is, how do you stop the people that are moving docks and boat lifts and that from moving those from one lake to another? And the DNR has said that that's the number one identified source of new infestations that they've found.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Austin? Thank you for your testimony. Next, Mr. McElroy from the Hospitality Minnesota. Representative McElroy, welcome back. Good to see you. If you could identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Dan McElroy. I'm Executive Vice President of the Minnesota Resort and Campground Association. We have 340 resort and campground members all across the state who have. First of all, I want to talk about what they are doing or we are doing already on this important issue and express our concerns about the impact of this, particularly on guests considering coming to Minnesota from other states and regions. My members care deeply about the health and the marketability of their lakes, the big investments that they hope to pass on to future generations and their family or that they depend on for their retirement. They do not take this issue lightly at all. Many of them have lake service provider licenses and continue to take lake service provider training, sometimes beyond that's required, and to train their employees in the law and the techniques for preventing the further spread of aquatic invasive species. Most of our members have aquatic invasive species links on their websites. Many send printed material to guests, particularly those coming from out of state at the time of reservation. We're developing with our members a resort and campground best practices for things we can do to be helpful, and we'll include those online links, educational programs at the resort, connections to our reservations, signage at private boat landings. Many of our members have invested in the equipment to decontaminate boats. All of them have trained their dock boys and registration staff, from the very smallest 3, 4, or 5 cabin resorts to large resorts, because the consequences of not doing this well are as great for us as for anyone in the state. However, significant number of our guests come from out of state. Significant number of our guests are in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. This provision scares our out-of-state guests. News about it is being spread by competitors in Wisconsin, Michigan, upstate New York, to some extent South Dakota. One of our members was at the Chicago Sports Show and had a tremendous number of questions about this bill, was asked if it was in fact true, as he'd been told by a resort in Michigan, that if he violated the bill, he could go to jail or lose his vote. Obviously not true, and kind of scare tactic, but one we're concerned about. One of my members in Itasca County has had canceled, although I hope we're going to get it back, depending on how this bill proceeds, a multi-cabin, multi-week booking worth more than $12,000 to an out-of-state potential guest who's concerned they're chronologically gifted, meaning my age and older, don't have a computer, have never tried to use a computer, we're told there is no paper bypass or not an easy paper bypass for this requirement, and they don't want to subject themselves to coming to Minnesota and risking breaking the law. We'd like to work with the DNR and others to find more ways to educate the public. We think this provision has negative unintended consequences that are really severe and serious. In 1975, the University of Minnesota Extension Service published a report about the state of the resort industry at that time. And they estimate that in 1970, there were almost 2,600 resorts in Minnesota. Today, there are 800. And making it more difficult for us to compete with resorts in other states doesn't make it more likely that we'll preserve that democratic access to Minnesota's lakes and waters. When a resort is sold for private use, we go from hundreds of families having access to the lake and its joys through a resort to the one family that may have bought a cabin or a resort because that resort now had real estate more valuable than the business. This bill, I'm afraid, may speed the process of reducing access to the lake. With that, I'd be happy to take questions if there are any. We want to be part of the solution. We don't think this is a very good part of a long-term solution.
Representative Heinzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. McElroy, I just had a quick question. As we're discussing different options in how to deal with the trailer decal issue, I was just curious if you guys have an opinion. Is it better for this to go away completely and never come back, or could this come back in a different way without the same kinds of penalties and expectations under the law?
Mr. McElroy.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Heinzman, if it came back principally involving in-state boat trailers, boats, guests, it would have less impact. And if it was connected to the registration of the trailer or the boat, so a part of that registration became taking an online quiz, we don't think it would scare away other guests. We're not absolutely sure that there isn't a way to make this workable. In its current form, it seems to be frightening guests and potential guests.
I'll offer Tim Heisman. Okay. Mr. McElroy, I have a question for you. What if the resorters had the opportunity to offer this quiz to their guests, either electronically when they make a reservation or hard copy when they arrive? Mr. McElroy.
That's already an idea that we're pursuing. Thank you. That we think that's workable. It's when it becomes the potential gateway to committing a crime by not passing it, that we think is a problem. To offer it voluntarily is something I think will be part of our best practices for prevention.
Mr. McElroy, maybe a tougher question. What if you were required to make your best effort to provide it to the guests?
Mandates are somewhat challenging. I'd be happy to discuss that with my members. Because I haven't presented that to the board or asked their opinion, I'm going to duck, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
I think that would be somewhat controversial. I'd certainly be willing to raise it with my members.
Well, Mr. McElroy, you used to be a politician, so I'm not surprised that you're ducking and weaving. Any other questions for Mr. McElroy? Thank you. Representative Deal.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just really had a comment about how the mechanics of some of this and what that conversation was just about. In Ontario, every person that runs a boat is required to have a boater safety certificate, bar none. And so if you have one from your home state, you're good to go. But if you don't, which many of us older guys and gals don't, because we were born before the date that required it, you have to have it in order to run a boat on the lake in Ontario. And so I'm thinking about this. We took that document and the test. It's about 3 minutes, essentially. 4 or 5 minutes for somebody that's never read anything like that, and we put it on our website. And they can print it off, and they can have it in their possession and come up there, and they get in and run in a boat. So the difference is here is that we want them to come and have their information before they get into the state, maybe, or when they're in the state, that they can get the information. So could it be, you know, we've always talked about the department. I'm kind of asking a question here. Always talked about the department having this on their website. Why wouldn't the tourist operators get the test and put it on their website so that the, you as a tourist operator, or me if I were in the U.S., say, you need to do this, I'll help you through it, it's on my website, click on it, fill it out, print it out, you're good to go, you don't have to have any more worries. This has worked really well, and they put the fear of God in the outfitters in Ontario when this first came out. And so I feel that same fear of God in my local resort communities at home.
Mr. Chairman,
Dill,
we'd be willing to pursue that. As I said, I'd like to talk to members about it, but it may have some merit.
Representative Dill, I'm glad I was in the bow of the boat and Representative Fabian was driving because we didn't remember the test.
Well,
Representative Dill.
Mr. Chairman, I thought that Fabian failed it. Well,
to that point, Representative Dill, he may have failed the piloting test, but he didn't fail the fishing test. That's because fair. In the last 9 minutes before the float plane was to come to the dock, Fabian caught 11 fish and I caught one in the last 9 minutes. So that's our plug for Thunderhook. Okay, I think we're good to go, Mr. McElroy. Thank you. And members, that Representative Dill has got a fishing camp in Ontario, so it's always good to get the international perspective, and a couple of us were blessed to be able to go there a few years ago. So it's in fun that we mention it, but it was a truly awesome experience, including Representative Fabian, the 45-inch northern that you caught after 45-inch? 47-inch northern that he caught after Representative Dill, the terrific net you had. I ended up with it in half of the net in each of my hands while Representative Fabian played the northern to the boat that actually wasn't even on the hook. It was the 16-inch walleye sideways in the mouth of the northern that Fabian, being the good fisherman, realized that the northern was on and that it probably had a walleye in its mouth, and we had to be careful bringing it up. So we've got some really cool pictures of that experience. So members, thank you for allowing me to digress. Back to a more serious issue. Mr. Jacobs, President of Rivertown Communication, I believe you're next on the list. If you could come forward, thank you.
Good morning.
Mr. Jacobs, yes. If you could identify yourself for the record and who you represent.
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. My name is Rob Jacobs, and I'm the president of Rivertown Communications. And under contract with the DNR, we've developed the training and the delivery system for the training that we're discussing quite a bit these days. And I really just wanted to introduce my company and our function in this system. We're a Stillwater-based company. We've been incorporated since 1991. We've been in Stillwater since then. All of our employees are Minnesota residents. All of them are outdoors people and enjoy Minnesota lakes. There is one exception. We have one of our developers lives on the wrong side of the St. Croix in St. Croix Falls, but he enjoys the Minnesota rivers and lakes as well. Many of our customers are state of Minnesota departments, and we've worked with them for a number of years. We work with Accessible Training, Special Training DHS, several projects with the DNR. And we had a contract with DNR that was signed on March 3rd of 2014, just a little over a year ago. And the contract's not a perpetual contract for our delivery of the system. It ends a year from now on March 3rd of 2016. And The functions that we've done on this project are really fourfold. We've developed the online training and the hard copy training in connection with the DNR and their subject matter experts. And under their direction and as a policy of our own, we've tried to make this training as complete as possible, but also as non-intrusive to the people that have to take it. We understand time is valuable, and a person can adequately go through this training in about 20 minutes, and that's both the online version or the hard copy version, including the 10 question test. We've developed a dedicated network to deliver this training, and one of my worst nightmares was speaking in front of a committee much like this, explaining why our network crashed when people wanted to take the training and get out and enjoy the boating applications. So we've developed a redundant network. We've load tested for 6,000 concurrent users, which was well in excess of what we're projecting for the usership. And if there are over 6,000 users that would hit this at one time, they're handed off to another secondary server to tell people that we're busy right now, but please come back. So as near as we can guarantee it, we would not have a crash on this, and people could be in and out of this training as quickly as possible. We also would provide the fulfillment service, which means when people take the training, if it's a hard copy training, we do a manual scoring of their tests. And if they're successful, they get the decal. We mail the hard copy material out to them. That's all done through our office, and we've set up the infrastructure to do that. We are using a local printer, Ideal Printing, to do the fulfillment of the hard copy material. And they would handle any of the high volume weeks where we would need to deliver a lot of the training materials. They do that with their automatic systems. And finally, we'd provide the technical support for the people that would be taking this training should there be a problem on logging in or where to go. There's nothing worse than having a problem with a computer program and nowhere to go. And we've got a system in place to handle what we're projecting is well over our anticipated calls. We have we're ready to add up to 5 technical support personnel to take phone calls, and we can increase hours as needed to make sure that everybody would be handled. Now, all of this training development has taken place. It was done in December of 2014 in anticipation of the January 5th rollout. We got the call from DNR right before Christmas to put it on hold until January 31st, which we did. We were able to stop the printing, so there's very little printing that's been done. But other than that, it's on hold right now, and it has been since the end of December. And I don't know if you have the handout. I believe that it was in your packets. There's some other issues that we've heard questions about the program that have been addressed, and rather than take your time, I thought you could just read the handout material. I should have contact information on there, too. I'm very open to talking with anybody about this program, at least from the logistical standpoint, so I'm not on the policy level.
Mr. Jacobs, we have a one-page handout at the top. It says Rivertown Communication, Inc., and it does have contact information for yourself and a phone number at the bottom, and I believe it addresses those questions. So
yes, sir,
you don't need to go over them. Thank you for doing that to keep it short. Do you have any other wrap-up comments, and I can see if there's any questions for you, Mr. Jacobs.
Sure. The only thing that I do want to add is that I hope this is allowed to proceed in some form, and we're ready to talk to the DNR about any modifications that are needed in the delivery. But education works, and the reason we put the quiz in there is because people pay more attention to content when they know they're going to be quizzed on it at the end. So there is a reason for that. It's not a hard quiz. But education does work, and our lakes are worth the protecting, and we just hope that that it's allowed to proceed. We've taken about 2,000 calls from people. We're supporting the line right now, and most of them wish they didn't have to take it, but almost all of them understand the reason that they need to, and they're willing to invest the 20 minutes to learn what they need to. So with that, I'll end, and any questions?
Mr. Jacobs, I do have one question for you,
yes.
And the DNR will be coming down after you. We have one testifier before the DNR. But we have a fiscal note from the DNR that looks like right now DNR is estimating, if Representative Drazkowski's bill was to pass, that the DNR feels they have an obligation to your firm. Have you seen the fiscal note and the amount on the fiscal note?
I haven't seen the amount. I know we've been talking for the last several weeks about that.
And depending on different scenarios, what are the scenarios for obligations by the DNR, would you say monetarily, or are you not willing to divulge that at this point in time?
If it's okay with the DNR, I'm willing to bring that up.
Well, I guess I'm asking you to, because this is the Finance Committee, and I want to know what we're going to be on the hook for. So
yeah.
Unless you, if you don't want to do it, I can talk later. But I think it would be appropriate for you to at least give us a range of potentially what we might be on the hook for based on the contract that you have signed with the DNR and the different scenarios that could unfold.
Right. Currently, we've got in direct costs, which are most of the total is a direct cost for the development, the infrastructure that we've added specifically for this program, and the contracts that we've signed. For example, you need to sign a long-term server contract. For the length of the anticipated contract, we're just under $330,000.
Okay, that's consistent with the fiscal note. Thank you.
Okay.
To this point, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just going to say, if they were in current negotiations on, or billing wasn't complete, I think for the record we should know it that may not be the total amount if there's other cost of shutdown and those type of things. I do have a question on another point.
Go ahead, Representative Hansen.
thank you, Mr. Chair. And I want to go back to kind of validation in terms of how you validated the quality is not the right word, but did you use focus groups? Did you, on the questions that are there, did you do testing with groups in terms of ease of usage, content retention, some of the normal effectiveness measures before you went live?
Certainly. Yes, usability is a big...
Mr. Jacobs, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. You just say Chair Representative Hansen. If you don't know his name, you can say Chair Representative.
Okay, Chair Representative Hansen. Certainly, we have done usability testing on the mechanics of the quiz. We've done technical and mechanical reviews of the questions, and that primarily involves making sure that anything that's asked was presented in the training. We did have one slip through that there was a question that wasn't addressed in the training, so we modified that, and your copy reflects that modification. We have had a number of users go through it, including the tests, and comment on it, and everybody that's gone through the training has said that they thought they knew everything, but they always picked up one or two items in there, and in the tests were passed in every case that we've tested. And I don't have the numbers on that, but it was significant both within our organization and the DNR had done the testing as well.
Follow-up, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In general, when we have this type of testing, is there better retention than when we're just printing thousands of brochures or putting up signs and relying on passive distribution of information?
Mr. Jacobs.
Yes, Chair, Representative Hansen. Yes, it certainly is. And the main reason for that is that when you know that you're going to be asked to test or test questions following what you read, you're going to pay closer attention to the test than just the brochure. I've got a lot of brochures in my car that I glance at headlines and then they sit there.
Thank you. Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Jacobs, I'm curious, within the system, if you're a multiple boat trailer owner, how do you... when you've taken the test, how do you get multiple stickers if that was to be the case?
Mr. Jacobs, and if that's a question for the DNR, they're coming up later, but if you know the answer, go ahead. Mr. Jacobs.
Yes, Chair, Mr. Representative. The facility to handle that right now is that if you do pass the test, you can order additional stickers up to five without a phone call. If they have more than five, a need for more than five, they can call and request more. We do have a live operators to take that call. And then we would ask why they need more than five. It's just an arbitrary number.
Mr. Jacobs, when they ask for up to five, do they acknowledge that those are actually trailers they own and they're not for their friends? Is there just a, or is that an assumption you make?
That is on the order form that those are available for their own personal trailers.
Follow-up, Representative Fabian.
I'm good, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Jacobs, for coming forward, and if it might be great if you could hang around till the bill is done in case after the other testifiers and the DNR comes up, if you could be available. I think we'll be wrapped up here within 10 minutes.
Yes, thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you for coming down. Next is Sherry Davis-White, president of the Minnehaha Creek Watershed District. Ms. White, if you could come forward, if you could identify yourself for the record and who you represent and give us your short testimony, then we can get the DNR down here also. Welcome. Good morning.
Chair McNamara, thank you. Members, we thank you for the opportunity to speak to the committee.
If you could tell us who you are and who you represent. Thank you.
My name is Sherry Davis-White. I'm president of the Minnehaha Creek Watershed District Board of Managers.
Thank you.
We are happy to be here today as the committee considers House File 184. We are also interested in House File 1065, both of which relate to the statutes regarding the establishment of the Aquatic Invasive Species Prevention Program. The Minnehaha Creek Watershed District, MCWD, is a special unit of government. Our watershed in Hennepin and Carver counties has 129 lakes, including Lake Minnetonka. MCWD views the spread of aquatic invasive species, or AIS, as a critical issue for our watershed and for Minnesota. We have adopted and are implementing an AIS management program within our jurisdiction in close collaboration with anglers, lakeshore property owners, marina operators, boat manufacturers, and other citizens, as well as other local units of government and the State Department of Natural Resources. We recognize the grave threat AIS posed to the health and recreational value of our lakes and streams, and the serious potential impact AIS present to property values and our economy. Our goal in AIS management is to prevent the introduction of new AIS in water bodies in our district while maintaining access to those waters. As we have learned from developing our own AIS program and working with many partners, there is no silver bullet in efforts to prevent AIS or remove them when they have been introduced. Some combination of education, prevention, intervention, and enforcement is needed. The AIS prevention program is a concept that we have supported. It has a broad reach to increase public awareness of AIS through education and ease of enforcement. It is another tool we have been awaiting to put in the public toolbox to strengthen efforts to prevent the spread of AIS. The program was delayed in 2013, and it appears for 2015. We are confident that the law can be amended to accomplish its goals. That is why we submitted comments to the House Mining and Outdoor Recreation Committee on February 10th to oppose House File 184, which would repeal the program. We testified at the Senate Environment and Energy Committee on February 17th in support of amendments to the program in Senate File 669, which began as the companion to House File 1065. The amendments proposed in House File 1065 and Senate File 669 are on track to make the program more workable. Any new initiative is likely to have imperfections when it is rolled out, and experience will lead to changes that will make it run more smoothly. We will be supportive of amendments now and in the future that will make the program more successful in its acceptance by the public and in its effectiveness in slowing and stopping the spread of AIS. One of the constant themes we heard during the development of our AIS management program, and one we continue to hear from residents in our district, who are concerned about AIS is that the penalties and sanctions for breaking AIS regulations are too small. They are not meaningful enough to gain significant and immediate compliance. The warning and $25 civil fine appear to be just a slap on the wrist and hardly in proportion with actions that would disrupt the ecosystem of a water body or a watershed. We don't know exactly what the amount for the fine should be, but encourage you to consider something that will grab the people's attention.
Ms. White, I'm just going to ask you, because I know you have multiple pages there, and I know you testified in the Mining Committee. Can you wrap up? Is there some key points here? Because I noticed it's multiple pages printed on both sides with small print. So okay. If you don't mind wrapping it up, that would be
certainly terrific.
We
are very interested.
And if you could also provide it electronically to our committee, we'll get it to all the members. But please
certainly continue. We are very interested in seeing that trailer-borne infestations of AIS are dealt with in this law, and we would work toward the common goal of protecting all the resources of the state for our future generations. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for your work on behalf of the Watershed District. I appreciate that. Any questions for Ms. White? Thank you for your testimony, and thank you for coming back again and testifying before the House. Mr. Meyer, if you could come forward. Mr. Meyer, you might be one that I don't know how you want to testify in regards to talking about the two different bills. You're the last testifier on House File 184, and you're the first on 1065. So I guess if you want to kind of do this part here, and then I'd like to give Representative Drazkowski an opportunity to wrap up, and then we'll lay his bill over, and then we'll bring Representative Uglem forward, and you can just stay there. Welcome, Commissioner Meyer, if you could identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chairman, members for the record, Bob Meyer, Assistant Commissioner with the Department of Natural Resources. I'm just going to keep my testimony very brief. We believe this program can have a positive impact on reducing the rate of violations with the AIS transport and contamination of the lakes. We do not support the repeal, and we support the Uglem bill, which we'll testify next to improve that and make it more user-friendly to address the concerns that we've heard in previous hearings.
Thank you, Commissioner Meyer. Questions for Commissioner Meyer related to the repeal? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Commissioner Meyer, I think when Commissioner Landwehr was here, we asked similar questions, and the DNR this year has been fairly consistent on mend it, don't end it. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Meyer. Members, that's correct.
Thank you. Representative Drazkowski, you want to give us your wrap-up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, good discussion on the bill, but we still are faced with a law that doesn't work, and if this law stays in statute, is not repealed, Mr. Chair, the DNR is going to be required under law to carry it out, and so I would urge members of this committee, as you deliberate further upon this issue, to include in your solution repealing the law that's in place and come forward with a solution that works. Some other elements that really weren't brought up in testimony that were in Representative Hackbar's committee, there's questions about the Data Practices Act and its relationship to the decals on the boats that was brought up as an issue. The DNR testified that I believe about half of the boats in Minnesota have trailers, and the other half don't. We've got John boats, rice boats, canoes, and others. So that shows more of the unworkability of the current law. The kids of owners, the children, are they required to take the test or not? And what if someone else operates or borrows your boat, and how does that work into the current law and the consequences with that law? So I would just encourage you to include in your solution removing this law from the statutes and coming forward with something that is not as burdensome on the people of Minnesota, is not as uncertain in its definition and in its language as we go forward. One question real quickly, and I'm not going to suggest or request an answer, but as we look at the uncertainty of this, we look at number two on the quiz. AIS currently in Minnesota cannot move overland without help from people. Now, as somebody reads that, technically, I would guess, or the DNR is probably going to say that that's technically true. I would think that as people read that, the uncertainty of that, as you look at birds and geese and other things that transport these species, just questions arise, Mr. Chair. So,
Representative Drazkowski, for members, Representative Drazkowski, is there's the 10 question that we have that was provided by the DNR that Mr. Jacobs has developed, the 10 questions. You questioned number two. I have a question mark, Representative Drazkowski, by number two like you, because I don't think it's technically correct. I have a question mark on number six and number 10. So I think I personally am not necessarily like you 100% in agreement that those 10 questions are 100% factually accurate. And whenever we put some question in what we're doing, I think it gives the public a potential for distrust. I'm going to go to one question from Representative Hansen and one from Representative Hackbarth, and then we are going to move to Representative Uglum's bill. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Drazkowski, you mentioned the law was unworkable, but it hasn't been implemented yet. How can it be unworkable if it hasn't been implemented?
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Representative Hansen, it's unworkable in the way that it's presented. You know, we talked about the fact that, and I mentioned, half the boats in Minnesota don't have trailers. I mean, it begins there. People driving from Wisconsin to South Dakota with their boat have to comply with this law, and may not even know of the existence of the law as they simply just drive through our state. The questions about children or other people driving the boat are all questions that come to mind. But Representative, the people of Minnesota are unaccepting of this level or degree of movement in a law that places these extra burdensome requirements on them. They're putting decals on their boats. They're buying licenses already. They're following many laws. They are required to not have their boat plug in their boat, even if it's sitting in their garage over winter, and they happen to haul it to the first lake of the year. They're in violation of the law. There's a variety of other laws that we placed in the statute 2012, and Representative, we've just piled too many things onto the heap of laws around this particular area that it has become unworkable for the people of Minnesota.
Representative Hackbarth.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Drazkowski's right. I mean, when we talk about unworkable, there's a number of different issues that were not addressed in this law. And I do support something else, but we do need to repeal this because this is not working. This is not going to be able to work. We heard testimony that you can get up to 5 stickers. I own one boat. I can get 5 stickers. I can give them to my friends so they don't have to take the course. But this committee is about the finance issue of what this is all about. We heard all this policy stuff in the Mining and Outdoor Recreation Committee where it's not how it's not going to work. But I got here a little late, so I don't know if you touched on this issue, but this course is going to cost $5 to take this course. The question is that $5, and I think the people of the state of Minnesota think that that money's going to the DNR. That money's not going to the DNR. It's going to the vendor. I'm not sure that the vendor is authorized to collect that $5. That's a problem, and that, I don't know that that was addressed. This is a huge mistake that was made by this legislature and probably by the DNR to let this pass into law. I think we should want to get rid of this law, start over, come up with something that's going to work. In 2011, there was a law passed in similar to this that we all agreed that, no, that's not going to work. So then we came back in 2012 with another law, and this is it. And now we're discovering that that's not going to work. We had an effective date of July of 2015 to extend it out to make sure that this was going to work. Nothing was done in that regard to make sure that this was going to work. We're finding out now it's not going to work. So we have to repeal that. Let's repeal that. I don't know if Representative Uglum's bill is going to work or not. We'll look at that and we'll hear the testimony on that. Maybe that'll fix it. I don't think so. From when I look at the bill, I don't think that takes care of a number of the issues. But we can come up with something else to educate people on this issue. That's okay, and I'm okay with that. But this does not work. It's got a number of different issues. The DNR should want this repealed. This legislature should want this repealed, and we can start with something else.
Thank you, Representative Hackbar, for those comments. Representative Drazkowski.
Mr. Chair, if I could just briefly.
Go ahead.
Tagging on to what Representative Hackbarth was talking about, I'm glad he mentioned the fees because I did some looking into this, and there is some problems about this. There's nowhere in Section 86B.13, which is the statute, the section of law that that authorized this. There's nowhere in there suggesting that the DNR is authorized to collect a fee or an agent of the DNR is collected to offer authorized to collect a fee. As a matter of fact, Mr. Chair and members, Section 16A.1283 says, notwithstanding any law to the contrary, an executive branch state agency may not impose a new fee or increase an existing fee unless the new fee or increase is approved by law.
Thank you, Representative Drazkowski.
Mr. Chair, the DNR is in violation of state law.
Well, Representative Drazkowski, I appreciate your opinion on that. I'll remind members that 86B.13 Subdivision 3 reads, and this is the law that passed in 2012 that I authored, contracting for services. The commissioner may contract for services to provide training and testing services under this section. That is in law. You and Representative Hackbarth raised great questions of whether what took place is consistent with that law or not, and that's why we're here today having this discussion. Clearly, what was intended in law in 2012 is not going to work, and we got to figure out something that will work. So, Representative Drazkowski, thank you for bringing this bill forward, and House File 184 is laid over for possible inclusion. Representative Uglem, if you...
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, thank you, Representative Drazkowski. Representative Uglem, if you want to bring forward House File 1065. Representative Uglem moves House File 1065 for possible inclusion to be laid over. Representative Uglem.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Did you want to talk about the lead all?
I want to talk about whatever goes fast. Representative Uglem.
All right.
Representative Uglem, you know what you need to do? You need to move your DE1 amendment to get the bill in the shape the author would like. Members, does anybody have any discussion to the DE1? It would make more sense to get that amendment moved so we can actually talk about the bill Representative Uglem wants. Hansen to the DE1. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Uglem, I'm a co-author on the original bill, and just was, you know, last night we all were at the Regents, and this amendment got posted, I think, at 6 p.m., so there wasn't a lot of time to look at. I think, Mr. Chair, you'd referenced it. I'm just, you know, I think we've been working well. I wish we would have had a chance to maybe a little more lead time to look at it overnight. I'm not being critical there, Mr. Chair, but we were on the floor a long time last night, and if maybe in the future a little more heads up with the actual bill would be good.
Thank you. A point well made, Representative Hansen, and we are just laying the bill over, and that's why this amendment is certainly in order, and it met the deadline requirements. Further discussion to the DE1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The amendment's adopted. Representative Uglem, do you want to speak to the to your DE1 or to your 1065 as amended with the DE1, and then Mr. Meyer can walk through it also. Representative Uglem.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, good morning, committee members, and all of you know that I'm very concerned about AIS and the effect on our lakes and our way of Minnesota life. To the DE1, the DE1 puts the bill in the essentially the same form as the Senate author, Senator Sexhawk, has. And this bill is a good faith effort to address a number of the concerns that we've just heard in terms of cost, in terms of making this a much more customer-friendly, a much more easily enforceable bill. It has no costs to the individuals, and the fines are extremely minimal. The test itself, 20 minutes to save a lake, to save all of our lakes, I don't think is too much to deal with. There is no cost to the decal in this bill, and the as far as trailering goes, this bill has changed, and Director Myers will get into it. This bill has changed where if you are a Wisconsin resident and you're going to North Dakota to go fishing and you're trailering through the state, there is no penalty, there is no problem. So we have narrowed that requirement, and we've pushed this thing back so we can provide this education and so everybody can understand what's required. If there's no questions, I'll...
Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, members, thank you, and thank you, Representative Uglum, for trying to help us resolve this issue. The amendment before you today has come about based upon the discussions that did occur in the Mining and Recreation Policy Subcommittee or Policy Committee, and we're trying to work with stakeholders to address all of the concerns that were raised there. I think starting on Subdivision 4, the program is clarify that it is not for transporting, it's only for launching watercraft into waters of the state as defined in 84D. And then it also provides that a person needs to have the decal or a training validation issued under this section. So the next line there, temporary authorizations valid for 14 days can be requested for persons that have not completed the requirements of this course to help ease the burden, so to speak, on residents or non-residents coming into the state to go to a resort or a campground to go hunting or fishing within the state. You can see on there, it continues that they're valid for 3 years as in current law. The next big change begins on line 3.13. So we talked about there's an exemption. If a person is exempted from the training and decal requirements if they hold a valid lake server provider training certificate or if they're using their boat to launch water or water-related equipment that has been stored basically on their shoreline. So we provided an exemption in 84D for a person. If you live on Lake Minnetonka, for example, and you're pulling your dock out of the water and it's covered with zebra mussels, it used to be against the law to put that back in that same body of water. So we clarified that several years ago to say that if you're pulling equipment out of an infested water body, you can put it back into that same infested water body the next spring. So what this section does, it says if you're using that trailer like many people do around the lake states, lake area, to pull your pontoon boat out of the lake in the fall and to put it back in the spring, you don't need the decal. In essence, what it says is that the decal is only needed to launch a boat off of a trailer into a public water body. So we've clarified that, and I think that's a big clarification point. The other piece that's there, people said, well, there's no penalty. People won't be following it. What we've done is created a $25 civil citation after the first year. So Section 7 says a person launching water-related equipment in the waters of the state who failed to display the sticker are subject to a violation after the first year. So the violation doesn't occur until 2017. The other important part of this, that it delays the effective date of the decal training until next January. So if this law were to pass, we will be very proactive, working with all sorts of media opportunities and our partners with Explore Minnesota Tourism, Resort Campground Association, the media, to make sure that people know there is no decal needed this year, but starting next January, the training will be needed. We'll go through the sports show season, working at all these shows and opportunities to educate people on that. Now, if you... Yeah, that was that season, the trailer going back and forth, seasonally launching, storing, or repairing water. So making sure that, as we discussed, you do not need the decal. If your trailer, for example, my neighbors have a trailer they use with their pontoon boat to pull their boat in and out of the lake for storage. They don't go anywhere. The boat stays on their shoreline. They aren't launching anywhere, so they're exempt from that requirement. Or if you're just to use your boat to do that, to go in that same spot or your dock, you don't need the trailers there. The next changes that occur just on the, well, then I guess it'd probably be easiest to go back to the front of the amendment, which establishes that civil penalty. You can see on line 1.22, says that for launching water-related equipment into waters of the state, the $25 civil citation. On page 2 of the bill, it talks about that delayed effective date, that section is effective January 1st, 2017, and applies to violations that occur after that date. The next piece talks about what we had in statute, training for offenders. the violations that occur after January 1st, 2016, the person would need to take the training course, and that would be effective following enactment. And then I think one of the bigger, most important things lies in Section 3 that states the commissioner shall not charge a fee for a person taking the course. And Representative McNamara, I appreciate the discussion that we had about the contracting language, because at the time when this provision was passed into law, we were very open and upfront with the legislature about our intentions, and that's why that language was there, that we would seek out a private vendor who may charge a fee to cover their costs. And I appreciate the discussion with Mr. Jacobs as well, because we need to make sure that he is compensated for the work that he's done. And those are conversations that need to take place as this bill is progressing as well. So we're clarifying that there is no fee for the program. The DNR will use our aquatic invasive species funding to pay for that program, and the decals. Again, Section 4 talks about the violation after 2016, so it kicks it out another year. And then the Section 5 deals with that at no cost to the person, the decal. So it clarifies again that there is no cost. Mr. Chairman, that is the essence of the amendment.
Okay, here's what my plan is, Mr. Meyer, Commissioner Meyer. I and other members have a number of questions about this as it being the final solution. I think it still needs much more work. Much of it centered around the requirement for it being voluntary. That's a big discussion that's not going to happen today. That discussion will be farther down the road as this bill comes back for further discussion. But I do want members, if they could narrow their focus down to the questions in the delete all amendment that we've adopted, which is now the bill that Representative Uglem is proposing, your questions to Commissioner Meyer so we can continue to move this discussion forward. Representative Fabian.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. It's not exactly on the bill, so if you want me, I'll wait. I just wanted some clarification.
Go ahead, Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Meyer, with regards to Rivertown Communications and the costs that are being, that have been incurred, as we sit today, are there costs that are continuing to be incurred in addition to where we are today? Is the state going to be on the hook for more costs at the end of this month as a result of the work that Rivertown is doing, or is that clock kind of stopped where we are right now?
Commissioner Meyer and Representative Fabian, and to Representative Hansen's point earlier, I want to be real careful that I don't want to get in the middle of what could move from a legislative to a legal issue. So feel free to answer the question and just be conscious of where we're going. Commissioner Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for that comment. There are small costs that are still being incurred, and currently at this point in time, we are in consultation with Mr. Jacobs about canceling that contract and the costs that are associated, which I need to circle back with the chairman and make sure that they're okay with us paying, canceling that contract and paying him out of this fiscal year's appropriation.
And Commissioner Meyer, Representative Hansen needs to be part of those discussions too.
Yes, sir.
Representative Fabian, any additional follow-up? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And on that point, if we are going to be, this is maybe a question for you, this being a fiscal committee, would expenditures come from the Game and Fish Fund if we need to? I mean, are we going to need to put an appropriation in at some point on this bill? Do we need a fiscal note? I mean, we have the fiscal note, but are we going to need to actually appropriate Game and Fish or another fund to cover this?
Representative Hansen, that's going to depend on where we end up and what ends up the relationship, if any, between the state of Minnesota and Mr. Jacobs' firm in what we do going forward. So those discussions probably shouldn't go any far. I mean, those discussions we don't know until we probably get this bill in the shape that we think we propose. Then we'll know better how to deal and where those funds do come from, and where they'll actually come from will be dependent on what our final solution is. Mm-hmm. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Commissioner Meyer, I'm a little concerned, you know, considering what we've done in the past with AIS, and it was referenced earlier, we start a program, we stop it. I think you have a large amount of stickers from a previous program in some warehouse somewhere from a previous attempt on this, and I'm concerned if we stop action on this for 2 years or have to restart it, if we have a sound, valid program for education, to keep, to put it live during 2015 so that Minnesotans who want to take the test, and I think there are more out there than people are giving Minnesotans credit for, people who want to take the test could take the test and do that during 2015, and that you could promote it and education does work rather than throwing the brakes on again, having the money that's been appropriated sit there lost, and then we have to restart again, and the years go by and the critters keep coming. So I would encourage that we keep moving forward, turn it on, and let Minnesotans, if they want to, participate in that. And I realize that'll cost money, but it's a small price to pay if people come into the system and want to get educated about how they can do things, rather than stopping and waiting again, and then 2 years from now we have another hearing like this where somebody's upset and we have to throw the brakes on again, and we keep waiting, stop, start, stop, start. So I would encourage you to turn it on, work on the voluntary effort, even if these extensions go out for effectiveness.
Thank you for those comments, Representative Hansen, and it's certainly my hope that we don't do nothing for the foreseeable future, but we have to find something that's workable in the short term and workable in the long term. So we're going to have good discussions about those. Representative Neuberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This question is for the commissioner. I'm pretty new to this whole process with this committee, and I'm finding it to be pretty eye-opening. And I just was curious if you would bring me up to speed as far as any implications or logistical issues or cost-related issues to non-English-speaking people that use our lakes. I mean, we have a large population of Spanish-speaking people, Hmong-speaking people, go on down the line. And when you go out to use our lakes, they're frequently used by all Minnesotans. So has the language barrier been something that's been factored into this equation? Could you just bring me up to speed on this? And if not, is that a cost that we're not looking at?
Mr. Meyer, if you're not fully aware of what that program is, maybe we can get that information from Mr. Jacobs and provide it to the committee. Mr. Meyer.
Chairman, I believe that it is available in Spanish. Now, Hmong would be another option that we will need to look at, but I we would have to look at that as well. So.
And it looks like, Commissioner Meyer, that it's not available currently in Hmong. Is it available in Spanish? It is not. Okay, so we'll have that discussion going forward about the need for that, but currently it's not available in any language other than English, and it's on hold, as we all know right now. Representative Hackbar.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Representative Uglum, your bill doesn't address deleting the current law. We have a current law that's going to take effect July 1st. This bill doesn't address that issue. Doesn't change that law. So I would encourage you, if you're going to move forward with this, at least you have to delete the current law that we have on the books. This bill does not address that. I think maybe this is put together assuming that we're going to do the Drazkowski bill and get rid of that law. I think that might be where you're going with this legislation. If not, you're going to have to include that in order to make this bill work. But this doesn't address some of the other issues that we talked about. This bill was in my committee, and I moved it to this committee. I allowed that to happen without discussing some of the policy changes, and I think some of those things should be talked about as well as if we're going to look at this bill. We talked about you're able to get 5 stickers right now. This doesn't address that. Doesn't say anything that you can't. I take the test, and I can get up to 5 stickers. I can give those out to my friends if I only own one boat. How do you deal with that issue? We're not addressing that. How do you deal with the issue that my kids and their friends come and take my boat and use my boat? They don't have. I take the test. I get the sticker. I put it on my trailer, and they go and take my boat to various lakes, and they don't have a clue about what this education issue is. They didn't have to take the test. that's another issue. We still don't address anything in the bill about the cost. It doesn't say anything about how the vendor's going to get compensated. It says that the commissioner is not going to charge a fee. That means that there's not going to be any fee charged by the DNR, but it still doesn't say that the vendor can't collect a fee, because we still have that issue. So there's a number of issues that are not addressed in this bill, so I agree that it might be a work in progress, but this is not the answer.
Thank you. Representative Uglum.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I agree. I mean, this is a bill that we've been kicking around in this committee for the last couple of years. You know that. With regard to the issue about five stickers and things like that, I mean, right now, today, you may have gun safety training, and you may allow your kid who doesn't have gun safety training to take your gun. And I don't know how we're ever going to address some of those issues like that. Part of it is really the idea that this is an educational bill. This is what we're trying to do. We're trying to make everybody understand that 20% noncompliance on boat checks around the state is not acceptable, and we're trying to make this as easy as possible for people to learn about this and to comply. You know, I'd like to make it voluntary, but I'd like to have voluntary speed limits too, you know, and it just doesn't work. So I agree, and we can look at this some more. Perhaps Ms. Taylor could talk a little bit about the idea that some of the issues about the old bill versus the new bill, or Denny could too. But
Representative Hackbarth, follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, Representative Uglum, then you're not open to the idea of making it voluntary.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Uglum.
Representative Hackbarth. No, I'm not.
Representative Hackbarth. Thank you. Next, I'd like to bring down two other testifiers to this bill. Mr. Hansen, Kurt Hansen, are you in the audience?
Yes.
Please come forward. Thank you. And then Mr. Forrester, I've got you next on the list.
Mr. Chairman, if I just may for
go
one
ahead.
Second.
Commissioner Meyer.
We did provide a reference table for you to look at that does outline where Minnesota is with our AIS laws compared to other states. Just for your reference, I didn't get a chance to go into it, but I think it's something you may want to keep in your folders and refer back to. So thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Meyer. Mr. Forrester, I think Mr. Hansen is first. Mr. Hansen, please come forward. Identify yourself for the record, and who, if anybody else, represent other than yourself.
My name's Kurt Hansen. I'm a resident, I guess, representing other residents that aren't speaking right now. I've got a few points.
Welcome. Go ahead.
Thank you. I got a few points here. I got a couple of questions here. As far as the riparian property being exempt, they say this bill is supposed to be educational. How many boats are on riparian property, and why are these people being exempt? Isn't this a good opportunity to give them the education? Another question is, do all riparian property owners keep their boat on the lift? Do they transport that boat from that lake to another lake? I think they do. I know a lot of people that come to the river I live on, St. Clair River. I know a lot of people from Minnetonka take their boats out of the lake, go into Wisconsin, launch their boat in Wisconsin on the St. Clair River, then they go back to Minnetonka. Now, legally, they can...
Mr. Hansen, I just want to clarify. Those people are not exempt under the proposal. They would be a trailer, and they move it from one body of water to another. They would be subjected to the law. So go ahead. Continue with your testimony.
Yeah, I understand what you're
saying. I just
want
to clarify that.
Yeah, but they're not exempt for transporting their boat from to Wisconsin, right? But I guess... this is where the law is confusing to me, and this is why the law is faulty. There's too many holes in it. I mean, so
Mr. Hansen, you're one of only 6 million Minnesotans that are confused by this bill.
Yeah, then that's why I feel this law should be repealed and start from scratch and have it done right instead of keep kind of fixing it and adding more loopholes, or not loopholes, more holes into the law that we already have.
Well, thank this you for your testimony. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Yes, I got another another one. They say there's no fee. There is a fee. Who's going to pay for it? The DNR just said they're going to take it out of the AIS fee. Now, the last committee meeting, they just said that they're funding, they have to take $250,000 out of the general fund to subsidize the AIS the functions. Now, I think I heard that it was going to cost $300,000 a year for this program, so that we're adding another $300,000 to the AIS fee program. So I think that we see another fee coming down the line, or I see another fee coming down the line that have to supplement what they're adding on to it. And another point, they say it's a $25 fine. Well, a seatbelt ticket is, I think, $25 or $50 fine, but with all the court fees and everything, it comes up to over $100 and some dollars. So it's not just $25 fine.
Thank you for coming forward, Mr. Hansen. I appreciate it. Any questions? Thank you, and I appreciate you coming forward and raising those concerns. They're legitimate concerns. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Mr. Forrester, welcome. If you could identify yourself for the record and who you represent, I'm going to ask you to keep it short. I've got seven testifiers on a bill that was never heard in a House committee, and they need to all testify today on Representative Drazkowski's other bill that's going to have an informational hearing. So, Mr. Forrester, if you want to give us your comments, and I'm going to ask Mr. Meyer to come back because I've got a few things I want to add.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Jeff Forrester, and I am Executive Director of Minnesota Lakes and Rivers Advocates. Our membership is made up of lake and river lovers, cabin owners, lake homeowners, anglers, hunting landowners, resort owners, lake associations, county coalition of lake associations, and other people and groups that care about Minnesota's most precious resource, our waters. Mr. Chair, I have comments for both Representative Uglem's bill and the bill that's following. Do you want me to give them at the same time?
Please do.
Well, I'm here to urge the committee to support Representative Uglem's bill. This bill is a sensible fix of the trailer decal and AIS education program. With nearly one in five boats currently violating AIS laws and the rate of infestation accelerating, now is not the time to repeal a bill directed at education. I also wanted to stress strong opposition to House File 570 that would repeal the county AIS prevention aid put in place last year by this legislature. The AIS prevention aid has unleashed a remarkable and needed energy across the state. The 2015 Aquatic Invader Summit, which was set up to bring counties and their partners together to create local AIS action framework that they can use to guide local efforts, brought over 400 people from 54 counties, Wisconsin, and Canada, and included not only resource managers at many different governmental levels, but resort owners, lake associations, angling groups, business people, county commissioners. The AIS program aid puts money where it is needed most. AIS is a statewide problem with local consequences. The Mille Lacs DNR Blue Ribbon Panel recently pointed to the contribution of zebra mussels and spiny water flea as one of the contributing factors to the dramatic decline of the walleye fishery. Here's a short list of what the counties are using AIS funding for. Risk assessments so that they spend their money wisely, targeting the most vulnerable waters for increased inspections and activities, forming collaborations between counties to increase effectiveness and efficiency, increased presence at boat ramps for inspections, more decontamination units so that the public has the tools they need to do the right thing. One county resource manager told me, the DNR can't stop AIS alone. The counties can't do it alone. The lake associations can't do it alone. This is going to take everyone at all levels working together. This funding supports those types of partnerships, if anyone has any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Forrester. I appreciate your interest, as always, in the issue of AIS, and thank you for all your work on behalf of the citizens and lake folks in Minnesota. Commissioner Meyer, could you come forward? Okay, Representative Hackbarth, was it for Mr. Forrester?
No.
Oh, okay, Representative Hackbarth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One question. I'm not quite clear. Does this sticker have to be renewed, or is it lifetime?
I'm not quite sure on that. Do we have to, is it every 3 years, every 5 years?
Commissioner Meyer.
Chair, line 3.8 of the amendment says it's valid for 3 years. Just another real quick point. Line 2.25 says it's at no cost to the person, so there's no fee anywhere. And the civil citation is a $25 civil citation. There are no court costs or anything added to it, so it's just $25.
Thank you for that clarification. Additional questions, Representative Hackbarth? Commissioner Meyer and Representative Uglum, I've got a few things I'd like as you work on this bill. I think the fine, if we're going to go to civil law, I don't think $25 is enough. I think we have examples in the western states where it's tens of thousands of dollars. So some of my colleagues would disagree with my thoughts on that. Commissioner Meyer, I have said all along that I'm sorry, I'm a riparian landowner without a boat trailer for my boat. But because I don't have a trailer for my boat doesn't mean that I don't have a dock and I don't have a shore station. Actually, I have both a dock and a shore station, and those are some of the most common infestation tools used to mess up our lakes. We should not be exempt of a program. We should be part of any program, and we're just as potential contaminants as the next person. Specifically to that point, I don't know how you're addressing it, but you should be aware that one of the most common lifts is a shore station lift that allows it to have wheels put on it and a trailer hitch on the front. My guess is it's not defined as a trailer in law, but it's used to trailer. And so if we could find out how that's going to be addressed, I think the idea that we make everybody be part of this solution going forward is important. I think that's the extent of my comments. And I want to reiterate to Representative Hansen's point that I think a solution is not to do nothing in the short term. As much as we know the current bill, which I put out as the solution in 2012 to the 2011 sticker that Representative Hansen alluded to, didn't work. This has been evolving over the last 5 years, the last 10 years, very fast, and it's changing. And that's why we have to make these changes, and I realize that. Something to this point, Representative Hackbarth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And to my other question, in this bill, it's renewable every 3 years. Under current law, if we do nothing, is that one also, is that sticker also 3 years?
Mr. Chairman, yes.
That's a yes. Representative Hansen, last question, and then we're going to bring Representative Drazkowski back for informational hearing, because Representative Drazkowski, there's seven people that have never had a voice on that bill heard in a House committee, and it's important that we hear from folks impacted by that Senate provision that was passed in conference committee last year. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Meyer, would you be able to incorporate, or would the DNR be able to incorporate the program that's been developed into your existing programs like the ICANN program or the Becoming an Outdoors Woman or the variety of training programs? Could you do that now, this spring, before the snow melts? Would you be live to go this year voluntarily? Or is it impossible for that?
Mr. Chair,
Mr. Meyer.
We have incorporated AIS training information into our boat and water safety program already. We talk about AIS in a number of different ways. This module is ready to go. We were ready to turn the switch on. Mr. Jacobs worked very hard to make sure we would be up and running by January 1st to give a time for the July 1st. But with this interest with the legislature, we thought it was prudent not to do that. The intent would be, once we have a clarification where this is going, is to reactivate that. But we always continue and stress AIS and also other invasive species training wherever possible.
Thank you. Commissioner Meyer, I wanted to make a few more points on the 10 questions that you're working with Mr. Jacobs, or you had been working with Mr. Jacobs. Question two, I already said, I think it's a question that should be deleted.
Yep.
It says AIS currently in Minnesota cannot move over land without the help of people. Absolutely, people are the problem there, but to make a blanket statement like that, I think just infuriates some people that absolutely believe that there's a potential for some AIS to move via an animal, and where we probably know that that's highly, highly unlikely, but to say it absolutely as a blanket statement, I think is wrong. Question number six tells folks to throw all these things throw them in the trash. If I'm not mistaken, DNR itself has created some compost piles at sites. So I think that, again, there, I don't know the purpose that serves. I think that question could be gone. And then the last one, before leaving the water access, you should throw all of these items in the trash. Actually, we have a program so that unwanted, well, you've said unwanted minnows, so I suppose you're saying that means they don't want them any longer. If they want minnows, we have a program to save your minnows, or we have suggestions on how to do that. I'm not sure that that question is properly worded either, so we need a little work here. Members, with that, House File 1065 is laid over for possible inclusion. Representative Drazkowski, we're going to bring House File 570 forward for an informational hearing. Representative Drazkowski, I'm just going to give you 1 minute to say what your bill does, and I've got seven testifiers that are all going to get 2 minutes each to give us their points, because it's important they've never been heard. Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. This bill repeals the $10 million per year, actually it's $4.5 million in 2014, and $10 million per year afterwards appropriation that appeared in the omnibus tax bill in 2014. It was inserted in conference committee, as I understand it, and this language in statute appropriates this money to counties based on the number of boat landings they have and the number of parking stalls they have at the boat landings. Mr. Chair, I learned about this provision actually in December when talking to one of my four counties and their finance departments, one of the four counties I represent. And they received the check in the mail and didn't know anything about where it came from, what it was for, or what to do with it. And Mr. Chair and members, this is a very inefficient, ineffective way. If it is the will of the legislature and the people of Minnesota to do things around AIS, this is not the right way to do it. So we have some counties in the state that require or have expressed need for AIS. I would suspect those would be the counties that have a lot of lakes. We have counties in my district where zebra mussels in the Mississippi at one time were a problem, and now Mother Nature has mitigated them. They are no longer a problem. There is not the need for these dollars, and they're receiving checks in the mail and trying to figure out what to do with them. Mr. Chair, AIS doesn't belong in tax policy. It should be the purview of this committee. And three words, members, that I'll remind you of that you've heard hundreds of times: protect, restore, and enhance. Part of our 2008 constitutional amendment passed by 55.99% of the voters, suggesting that that is the meaning, or the that is the meaning behind our constitutional amendment, our legacy amendment. And so I would maintain and hope, Mr. Chair, that in the future, if these lake-blessed counties need AIS support or activities, that that come from the legacy dollars rather than the general fund. And so this would we repeal that from the tax policy, Minnesota statutes. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. We're going to get the testimony started right away. We've got three different counties that would like to come forward to speak. Representative from Crow Wing County. Please state your name and who you represent for the record.
Mr. Chairman, members, Paul Teedy, Crow Wing County Commissioner, and with me is Jim Stratton, a Douglas County Commissioner. It's our privilege to be appointed by Commissioner Landwehr at the recommendation of the Association of Minnesota Counties.
About 2 minutes each for everyone to testify.
Yes, sir. I wish Commissioner McNamara, or Representative McNamara, was still there, because I was going to say I've incurred his witty wrath before, and I'm sure you have a similar kind. I just want to make a couple.
I hope you're going to be done by the time he gets back.
Mr. Chairman, more importantly, at 9:45, I have a meeting that on a bill that's heard for Crow Wing County for us. I have another appointment that I'm going to leave immediately.
Well, you used up 1 minute.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, on this committee, I've learned there are a whole lot of opinions, a whole lot of solutions, not very many answers to what we're doing. What this money has done is it has elevated the partnerships that are potentially available. So I'm simply here to say, from my position on the AS committee and as a county commissioner, if we withdraw the money, the expectation, because of the numbers, and you have a letter from our chairman of the Robert Olson of the AIS committee, the numbers of people that are involved in this are going to increase the pressure on the counties to then automatically backfill that dollars. And that's a concern, I think, to many counties, that once we've started this progress, the many partners that we've engaged, the many potential solutions that are out there, we need to do it as partnerships. If this money simply goes away and we don't do it, please don't force the counties then to have to use levy dollars to necessarily solve problems that are much bigger than that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Mayor.
Well, Commissioner Thede, and apologize for just being away, and welcome, and thank you for coming down. You and I are neighbors up north, where we have a seasonal property, and you get to live in God's country year-round, so good for you. Crow Wing County serves as an example of what should be done, but you also are at the epicenter of, unfortunately, the really sad things. As you know, Ossawinna McKee has been infested for a number of years, and your lake is probably forthcoming, because the canoe can go right up from my lake to your lake.
We try to keep you down there, though, Mr.
Well, at least the water's flowing in the right direction. Commissioner Thede lives on Upper Hay Lake, and our cabin is on Lower Hay Lake, so that's the reference for folks where we're coming about. But we both know the reality. Zebra mussel has been found by the public landing in Lower Hay Lake in the last year, and it's one of the most popular public landing. It's also a public landing where a volunteer, I take that back, I believe it was one of the DNR folks that they hire, the young college students, was able to ascertain that somebody was ready to put in a boat with zebra mussel, or I'm sorry, with raisin milfoil, I believe it was, now that I think about it, and we were able to stop that. So there is a need for things here. So thank you. Sorry I messed up on the time here, but thank you for coming forward. Next, we'll hear from Mr. Stratton from Douglas County. Welcome, if you could identify yourself for the record.
James Stratton, County Commissioner for Douglas County. Thank you for allowing me the time, Mr. Chair. And
welcome, Board. Commissioner. Give us your testimony.
All right. I guess part of the reason I'm here is to decide the reason why the money was given to us in the first place. I feel that it was a way of enlisting local involvement to a new level. It was a way of empowering those groups that we formed as a result of this money to help to take care of local issues, which are really statewide issues. We've got 10,000 lakes. We've got a lot of people that live on those lakes and live off of those lakes in various forms. If you don't have the resource in your county, guess what? Those constituents come to the counties that have the resource. So it's not just about zebra mussels. It's about all the other things that are coming down the pike. We've got the brown goby, the silver carp. Everybody knows about the silver carp. Eurasian milfoil. We have hydrilla. We've got a lot of things other than just zebra mussels that we're trying to deal with. So the current proposed Bill 570 will, in effect, take the fuel, so to speak, out of the engine that we've got started. And this is a concern that we have in our county, because it is prevalent in Douglas County, that it will die.
Thank you, Commissioner. Appreciate you coming down. Representative Cornish.
Well, Mr. Chair, remember, I was just wondering if it looks like Crow Wing County got $500,000 on the sheet. Can we get a printout if they keep that in a separate account, and what each dollar is spent on, for what purpose?
Representative Cornish, we'll get a breakdown further of more information. Commissioner, do you want to say how you do it in Douglas County? That would be good information.
We'll
find out from Crow Wing County.
Mr. Chair and
Commissioner
Representative
Scranton.
We do keep a separate account. It is not put into the general fund. It is separate. And it is accounted for. Every dollar that we spend is accounted for.
Thank you, Mr. Stratton. Seeing no other questions, Mr. Walls from the Parks Director from Carver County, if you could come down. Thank you, Commissioner. Thanks for coming
down.
Thank
you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Welcome, Director. If you could identify yourself for the record and give us
Martin
your testimony.
Martin Walsh with Carver County. I'm the Parks Director. I'd like to touch just briefly on a few things regarding County AAS in support of the prevention aid funding. With regards to some background information, Carver County has had an active program for 4 years. We've been providing this service on behalf of the state through a delegation agreement. We have three lakes with zebra mussel, 17 with milfoil. To our knowledge, as others have mentioned, we don't have the other AIS critters coming, or to our knowledge, in our lakes at this time. County residents have expressed a need for us to protect lakes from the current threat of AIS and future threat of AIS. Regarding funding, we are utilizing several sources of funds. They include County General Fund, Water Management Organization funds, DNR grants, city contributions, and funding from homeowners associations. Our program for 2015, as compared to our previous year, we are hiring 20 more inspectors. We're now up to 45. We're doubling the service hours from 7,000 to 14,000. We're providing watercraft decontamination 7 days a week with set hours. We're purchasing additional AIS informational signage for all watercraft access locations within the county. We're buying technology devices to keep track of that information. We're implementing a trailer tag service where watercraft can be inspected on an outbound inspection and receive an expedited inspection going inbound.
Thank you. Anything additional to add?
Just further, we are also matching dollars from the Lasard Outdoor Heritage Council. They are providing grant funds for a decontamination unit, and we are matching the dollars with the county program aid to supply that labor for that.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Seeing no questions. Next, Mr. Ernasti, are you in the audience? Yes, if you could come forward. Mr. Ernasti, if you could identify yourself for the record and who you represent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Hausman had a question. Representative Hausman.
Just
if you could speak into the mic, thank
just
you.
Just clarifying this. The first page is 2014. The second is 2015. So that would be, they haven't received any of this yet, I'm assuming, right? The 2015 sheet?
Representative Drazkowski might know the answer.
That's correct, Mr. Chair. The first payment is on July 20th, and the second one December 26th.
Okay, thanks for that clarification, Representative Drazkowski. Mr. Arnosky.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Don Arnosti. I represent members of the Isaac Walton League of America here in Minnesota. The Isaac Walton League is made up of outdoors people and the mission of the organization is to conserve, restore, and promote the sustainable use and enjoyment of our natural resources, including soil, air, woods, water, and wildlife.
And if you could speak to the bill, Mr. Arnosti.
Yes. We strongly oppose House File 570. Because we believe that House File 570 is actually government operating at its best. This is an example of a very complicated issue, as illustrated by the thoughtful and respectful discussion that was happening this morning on the two previous bills, how best to deliver the goals that we all agree on, which is to try to control and limit the spread of aquatic invasive species. What House File 570 does, however, though, is knock the supports out from under the local initiatives that we've been hearing about in counties, with watershed districts, with lake associations, and I believe this is the very best way for government to engage citizens in solving the problem.
Thank you, Mr. Anasti, for coming forward. Seeing no questions, next, Mr. Farnham, Kevin Farnham, if you could identify yourself for the record and who you represent. Welcome. Good to see you again.
Hi, thank you. Kevin Farnham, Mr. Chairman and other committee members. My name is Kevin Farnham, and I represent Minnesota Coalition of Lake Associations, Stearns County Coalition of Lake Associations, and Coronis Lake Association in Painesville, Minnesota, as well as myself. It was very encouraging when the House passed the Minnesota Statute Section 477A.19, Aquatic Invasive Species Prevention Aid. This was a clear sign that the legislature recognized that stopping the spread of aquatic invasive species was important to the state of Minnesota, that this invasion would impact all of the residents of the state, not just the shore owners or the anglers or the transient boaters. The legislature recognized that all the dollars spent by private citizens and local government units, almost half of what DNR was putting towards this issue, was important to that mission and that these dollars might not be sustainable. The legislature recognized that the DNR would not be able to solve this problem without the help of the residents of the state. There, you recognize that the DNR will not be aggressive enough to achieve reduction in the spread across our state. And you recognize that simply increasing the budget of the DNR in this area would not be as effective as getting dollars at the county level and grassroots level of the lake associations across the lake and enlist others. So it is with great concern that you are second-guessing a good decision that you made last year. Much of the money already received from Statute 477A.19 has started to yield solid results. And as the counties, the LGUs, and lake associations, the grassroots efforts are actively getting involved, have developed AIS plans, and getting ready for the ice-out season, much hope has been generated that with the aid of the funding from this bill, we have a chance to make a difference.
Thank you. Anything additional you want to add?
Yeah. With the good that has and is happening, thanks for asking. I'm on my last sentence. With the good that has been happening, I ask you to oppose Bill HF 570 and stop it from moving forward. Let the good continue you've already done.
Thank you. And Mr. Farnham, I don't see any questions, but I have just a comment to your point that with the passage of that House file, it was a signal that all 134 House members supported that initiative. That was an initiative that was put in the dark of night in conference committee in a tax bill. It was never heard in this House Environment Committee, and I don't know that all of us agree with your statement that we feel absolutely the DNR should be held in the dark on the funding for AIS. So I respect your opinion. The counties do great work. The local lake associations do fantastic work, but I don't know if we should be spending $10 million for aquatic invasive species and keep the DNR out of the loop. So I want to just clarify that's one of the reasons we're having this discussion is some of us feel it would have been better to be coordinated more closely with the DNR in their work on IAS. So thank you for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you for your opinion.
Yeah. Mr. Carlson, if you want to come forward and give us your brief comments. And then, Mrs. Davis-White, if we have time, I'll bring you back down for a comment. Otherwise, we did hear from you extensively previously. Mr. Carlson.
Mr. Chair, Keith Carlson, Minnesota Intercounty Association, whose member includes some of the larger recipients of this money, but also some of the smaller, Otter Tail, Crow Wing, St. Louis County, and the former Carver County, Winona County, Olmsted. We are in opposition to this bill, although it was relatively late notice that we received. I think, as is obvious here, counties have really embraced this this measure. For example, to answer Representative Cornish's question, Crow Wing County is receiving $450,000 in this calendar year from this. Their budgeted expenditure for this program is over $489,000, so this is leveraging additional funds. They are largely relying on volunteers for their efforts, leveraging additional benefits. There is a webinar that our organization, AMC, produced in conjunction with the Department of Natural Resources and is currently on the AIS site. Since then, we have also had a webinar that was done by the Sea Grant program up at UMD. So we are engaged extensively on this and believe these monies are being put to good use. With that, I'll conclude.
Thank you, Mr. Carlson. I'd like to ask if anybody in the audience, and I appreciate Ms. White, you have already testified and we hear good comments from you. I would appreciate if you could electronically send us your entire comments. I think I asked for that. There's one other testifier that wanted to come forward. It's good to see a familiar face. If you could identify yourself for the record and who you represent, you got 1 minute.
Mr. Chairman and committee members, my name is Tom Watson. I'm president of the Whitefish Area Property Owners Association. I just want to say a couple of minutes, 1 minute. We're the largest nonprofit member Lake Association of Minnesota. We represent 1,200 members, paid members, 100 who are business owners, 1,100 who are guests and property owners in the area. Number two, the population of the Whitefish chain of lakes, we are the ninth largest public body of water measured on surface area in Minnesota. We're larger than Minnetonka.
One-third of the guests in our area, by a study from the University of Minnesota, come from north-central Minnesota. Two-thirds come from outside the north-central area. In other words, we're an area where people visit the area for tourism, recreation, and otherwise.
Thank you.
That same University of Minnesota piece of information, Mr. McNamara, indicated that the revenue generated by tourism travel in that area, this was 2008, was $150 million a year. These were people whose addresses in the survey were more than 50 miles away from the border of Crow Wing County. My point is this bill is also an economic interest in addition to an environmental interest, and we have another 150 species of aquatic invasive species sitting in the Great Lakes, which have been coming. That's the source of everything we're dealing with. So we only see the tip of the iceberg. We want you to keep the AIS appropriation.
Thank you. And if you could spell your last name, as you weren't on the testifier list.
W-A-T-S-O-N.
Thank you, Mr. Watson. And in full disclosure, I am a member of WAPOA.
Did you pay your dues in 2015 yet?
I did. Yes, I, Mr. Watson, I did. And I will say the dues is well spent. And as you know,
$30 a year.
Our Lake Association is probably the number one association, and it's great work in the fight for this. So I appreciate you coming down. Representative Hausman, you have the last question, then we're out of here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mine is just a comment. I am very grateful for Mr. Teedy, Mr. Stratton, Mr. Walsh, Mr. Arnosti, Mr. Farnham, and this gentleman. I mean, what we're hearing finally in our last testimony is how engaged the grassroots is all over the state. And this is an issue that we shouldn't just assume we can sit around a table here and figure it out in consultation with the DNR. But ultimately, unless we engage this entire state, and I am so hopeful by the testimony of all of these last people, they are engaged, they understand, and they are ready to actually help solve this problem. So I'm hoping that as we go forward, that we show huge respect for the kind of testimony we just heard.
Thank you, Representative Hausman. We're adjourned.